Okay, it is now 9:33 on Monday, November 23rd, 2020. And I'm Victoria Bowman, the chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. So, Ms. Cisneros, would you please take care of the call to order?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Bowman?
Present.
Vice Chair Clark?
Present.
Mr. McLean?
Present.
Mr. Ortega?
Here.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Present.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have a quorum. If I may, Madam Chair, if I could ask the meeting attendees one more
Thank
time
you.
To please mute your line to help with feedback. Thank you.
Certainly. And I would like to acknowledge our staff. Mr. White, thank you for joining us. And of course, Mr. Ogerton and the rest of the staff, Mr. Monahan, our attorney, thank you so much for being present today. So you're all very appreciated. Okay, call to pursuant of 41.01H, an open call may make public during a public meeting. Place and is to allow to address the public body issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss legal matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. We have the public. Okay, thank you. Now, a declaration of conflict of interest. So to any of the board members, does anyone see on our agenda that there is a conflict of interest?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, so review, discussion, and possible action on board meeting minutes. Are there any discussion on the minutes, or is there a motion to accept the minutes of the previous meeting as they stand?
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we accept the minutes from the open board meeting on October 26th, 2020.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Kevin Ramsey, I'll second.
Thank you. Mrs. Narrows, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes. Thank you.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Ogerton, we're at item six, which is our investigation reviews, and I do realize that we have an interpreter coming on at 10. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, he's actually already joined the meeting, so we can proceed at your convenience.
Okay, so as long as each person is there, wonderful. Okay. Upon a vote of a majority of quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony contained federal law. And so we're going to take case 20-119, Tiffany Hahn. And so I would like to ask the interpreter if I'd like to see him, his little picture light up or phone number light up on my screen, and to have you identify your place, yourself, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair. This is an interpreter. My name is Winston Chow, the last name C-H-O-U.
Thank you, Mr. Chow. I believe
Thank
you were with us last time. Thank you very much. We do appreciate your services.
You're always welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, let me get to my page for just a moment. So, Mr. Monahan, I believe I have a case presentation guideline. Is that correct for the investigations?
Yes.
Okay.
You do.
Thank you. Okay, I just want to clarify that. Okay, so okay. It is now 9:39 on November 23rd, 2020. This is a formal interview. This is an investigative review. So I don't need the formal interview. Is that correct, Mr. Monahan?
No, you don't. You should have a separate one for initial reviews.
Right. Okay. So the members of the board present are as taken in our quorum. This is an initial review of complaint number 20119 involving Tiffany Hahn. Ms. Cisneros, would you give us a brief factual overview?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. On August 20th, 2019, the board was notified by the Mesa Police Department that respondent was arrested on August 6, 2019 and charged with multiple counts for prostitution involving a massage client. Mesa PD interviewed the client, who identified the respondent as the seller slash provider of the sex act. Respondent failed to notify the board of the arrest and conviction within 10 days of each occurrence pursuant to ARS 32-3208. On November 25th, 2019, the board voted to continue this matter, and on January 31st, 2020, it was returned to the board, at which time the respondent appeared with legal counsel, and the board voted to continue the matter until the criminal case had resolved, which was scheduled for February 12th, 2020. According to a court disposition report dated September 22nd, 2020, respondent was charged with violations that include massage therapy for gratuity or compensation, massage unlicensed location, prostitution, and massage slash contact. A more recent court disposition report dated October 6, 2020, showed that the respondent pled guilty to the one violation of massage therapy for gratuity or compensation, with dismissal of the remaining three charges, and she was sentenced to 20 days of jail time. This most recent disposition report is available on page 72 of 507 in the board packet. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Ms. Hahn, are you present today?
She is. This is her attorney, Russ Richelsoff. Can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. She is present. I see her number on the phone. She does require a Mandarin interpreter.
Okay, which we have at this time.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry to interrupt. My name is Mary Teresa McGregor, and I believe I've been called in on the wrong case.
Ma'am, Madam Chair, if I may, you're actually on another case that's listed on the board's agenda, I believe.
Okay.
If you can hold off, the board will get to that case. These items are not time specific.
I'm so sorry.
Will be called a little later on during the meeting this morning.
No worries. I'm sorry. Okay.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
No, thank you for the clarification.
Tiffany is on the line. If you could use the interpreter to address her. If I may add something to the disposition that was read to the board, there was 20 days of jail imposed, but all 20 of those J's were postponed, or as we call it in court, deferred. And Tiffany will not have to serve any of those days as long as she's law-abiding for the next 12 months.
Okay, thank you.
And all of that is contained in the plea agreement.
刚才他们所说的最主要的情况是说根据他们调查的报告的结果是在9月6号的时候在Mesa这个城市里面就是说警察他们警探边到那边去逮捕你了是最主要的是因为这个按摩店里面当时候的时候有那个没有执照的还有非法王室性交易的这个违法的情况 所以根据他们情况里面之后审查最后的结果的报告里面按照法律的要求里面他们已经履行了他们职务将所有的报告各方面的情况已经完全的做结束了但是最后里面就看到在10月6号的时候 就是在那个Mesa的市政府里面 就是说你跟双方的这个个案的结案的结果是要求你20天坐牢 但是是晚期 就是说执行说没有立刻要坐牢的你刚才律师已经加了那个部分 但是说你必须要在12个月之内坚守其位期间 按照他们所有的要求里面完成他们的就是说所要求的条件如果这些条件如果都达成的话 那么20天坐牢的话 就不必要说执行了所以这个最主要的是大概的整个的情况底下所以你的律师还有刚才报告结果里面 他已经曾告诉他们，就是Arizona这州的这个按摩协会的，他们目前的情况所得到资料是这样的。嗯，明白。Understand. Thank you.
Thank you. So, would the respondent like to explain to us what occurred?
I don't have any to say.
Thank you.
If I may address the board, is it okay if I address the board?
Yes, you may.
Okay, thank you. Tiffany has always denied that any prostitution occurred. We did take the matter up to the day of trial. On the day of trial, the Mesa City Prosecutor's Office offered a plea agreement where Tiffany would plead guilty to a violation of the city code. And the violation title is not very descriptive of what the actual alleged offense is. If you look at the Mesa City Code, the factual basis for this is that she gave a massage to an individual whose genitals or anus was not covered by an opaque material. It's a city code violation instead of a state law violation. She was willing to admit guilt to this offense, but she's never been willing to admit that any prostitution has occurred, and she has always denied that any actual prostitution occurred.
各位委员好，我应该是你代表律师，他是主要是告诉说每一个人，就是说我要加以解释一下，所以说我当事人Tiffany从来没有承认说他有做一些皇室性交易的非法的交易。 但是在当天在庭审的时候，就是双方的Mesa的市政府的检控官跟我们当事人达成了一个合约上的协议，协议里面就承认说只是说在按摩的Mesa这个市程里面的违规的那个条项，就是说 就最主要的是提到的一点是说，当我的当事人替顾客按摩的时候，男人的性侵观他是暴露，而且没有是说有应该遮布的遮住他，所以我的当事人只承认这一点而已。所以在这个情况底下哈，就是说他自始至终没有承认说他有一个皇室的就是妓女罪非法的性交易都没有，只是说他在按摩的时候他违规的一点是说按摩的人的身上里面，当我在按摩的时候没有把那个布哈盖好男人的性器官，所以只是这一点而已。
是这个我当时在做按摩的时候只是没有给他盖毛巾，没有其他的服务，我也没有做其他的服务。
That's what you know my counsel explained that that's the truth. I did not besides when I massage my customer, I did not, you know, cover for the genital. So that's the only thing I admit. I did not commit other sex illegal acts.
Mr. Monahan?
Yeah?
I'm speaking to our attorney, Mr. Monahan.
Yeah.
Would you please address this? And I'm not sure if maybe we should go into executive session.
I'd be happy to go into executive session if someone would like to make a motion.
Okay. So, Chairman Bowman, I move that we go into executive session.
Emily Clark, second.
Madam Chair, is that for the board to receive legal advice?
This is for the board to be able to ask questions regarding this case, number 20-119.
Correct. Madam Chair, Seamus, go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the only reasons that we would be able to go into executive session would be for legal advice if you have legal questions regarding the case.
Right. Yes, I do.
Okay, perfect.
Mrs. Narrows, would you do a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
No.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes.
So I believe at this time, Mr. Wilcox will email us each a code so that we can go into executive session. And so only those, Tony and Mr. Wilcox, only those that should receive that. Would you send that out now so we can meet in, let's say, 2 minutes? Okay, it is now 10:10 on Monday, November 23rd, in session, and and on case 20-119, Tiffany Hahn. I believe we are, are there any questions from the board to Ms. Hahn?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, before we begin, can we confirm that all board members are currently on the line in this meeting?
Certainly. Certainly. So if you would go ahead and call that.
Sure, I can do a quick roll call. Mr. Ramsey?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega?
Present.
Ms. Lane?
Present.
Vice Chair Clark?
Present.
And Chair Bowman?
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so are there any questions for Ms. Hahn from the board members or for her attorney?
Not at this time.
Okay. So, I would like to begin our discussion stating that the information in our packet differs from the information that we have received from Ms. Hahn. And so I would like us to consider taking this to formal interview so that we can get more information at that time. And also to perhaps allow board staff and council to formulate a consent agreement that will be in line with how these things are typically handled.
Formal interview 就是完全的，就是说在一个双方面提供资料交换资料情况底下，然后第三的话，在这段时间里面，你的律师可能会跟他们会达成某方面的，就是说同意，所以这是他们以下的决定。
OK， 明白，那今天就到此。
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there discussion by the board?
I just repeat that. 您只要听就好了，他现在问按摩委员会有没有什么任何问题要问。
OK, 明白。
Understand.
Mr. Ortega, we missed you in the executive session. Did you have anything that you wanted to discuss or go over?
No, not at this time.
Okay. I didn't hear that, Mr.
Oh, I said not at this time.
You broke up on my side, probably. Is there a motion to move this to formal interview based on the evidence presented?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I'll make a motion that we move based on the findings of fact that we had in file. And then we can also authorize the attorney and respondent to enter consent agreement during that time.
And board members, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. And that's based on which potential violations of law we should list those out. And that's in
4253. 253, I believe, would be 4253. 23BD, I believe, if you can check that one for me, intentionally viewing or completely or partially disrupt a massage client in the course of treatment. If the viewing is not related to treatment under current practice standards and intended to appeal to current interest of massage therapy or the massage therapist. Is that the correct one?
Yep. And then also, I believe, 15.
Yes, that is correct.
Engaging in sexual activity with a client.
I believe 16 would also be applicable here. Failure to adhere to recognized standards of ethics and massage therapy profession.
And then I believe there was one more, and I believe that was 19.
That is also correct. Failing to report to report any act or omission of licensee or applicant or any other person who violates this chapter.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Andrea. Sorry for interrupting. If I could just have you confirm that was for 23D, 15, 16, and 19. What was the first one that you had referenced, Seamus?
15, 16, 19, and 23B... D.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Chair Bowman, I second the motion. Ms. Andreas, Ms. Cisneros, would you please read the motion and then take a roll call vote?
Absolutely. The motion is to proceed to formal interview in this matter for the based on the potential violations of 15, 16, 19, and 23 BD. The board is also authorizing the Assistant Attorney General to enter into negotiation discussions for a possible consent agreement. The seconder is the chair. And for roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. So if board staff would please be in communication with Ms. Hahn and her attorney. And let us now go to case 20-132, Hui Wang.
Can you please have the interpreter tell Ms. Hahn she can end her call with the board?
Yes, thank you.
And Mr. Richelsoff, I will reach out to you shortly.
Okay, thanks, Seamus.
安女士哈，先生是告诉你，他们的决议就刚才是因为根据他们闭门讨论的结果是资料上哦没有完全齐全，因为他们手头上的档案资料跟你提供资料有很大的差别，所以刚才他们通过了一个结啊下个的那个议案，议案里面是想说在这段时间里面他们会进一步的调查这个资料上的。 准确性跟正确的情况底下，也给他们有机会的，就是跟你的律师跟你本身哈，就达成某方面的协议。但是刚才的州政府的检控官他提出了，就是说请他们在讨论的时候特别注意几方面事项。第一的话是关于一个按摩的这个特别的委员会里面的这个州政府的规条里面是4253这条的条例，然后是点15.16。 点16.13，最主要的是讲到说你的违规里面哈，虽然是说没有是黄色的，就是妓女罪，但是在这个执行按摩的时候，在某方面的情况，所以你想了解的话，最好看这几个条规，所以您的那个案子哈，到今天结束为止，那么你的律师哈会跟你联系，谢谢。
嗯，谢谢，现在结束了呗。
Thank you. Okay, let us now go to case 20-132. Hui Wang. And is Ms. Wang on the phone? And if you are represented by counsel, is counsel on the line?
We may need the interpreter to reach out to her.
Yes, please. 这个是法院的翻译，请问你在线上吗？ 王女士，你是代表自己呢？ 还是说你有律师代表你？
我有律师代表我。
I do have counsel. I am on the line.
Okay, thank you.
谢谢。
So, members of the board, this is an initial review of complaint 20-132 involving me, Huang. So, Ms. Cisneros, would you give us a brief factual overview?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I begin, could we confirm whether or not the respondent's attorney is on the line at the moment?
She indicated that she did not have an attorney.
Okay, thank you.
This interpreter?
Yes.
I would like to confirm with my client. I believe she said yes.
Oh, excuse me.
So let me ask.
Thank you.
王女士，你刚才讲说你的律师有就是你有律师对吗？
你找的是韩女士还是王女士？ 我是Tiffany韩，不是Tiffany韩，我是黄女士。 我不是，但是你就是一个案子吧？ 我那案子是不是结束了？
不是，韩女士，你的已经结束了。 我现在是问王女士。
啊，那我现在就把手机放下，可以了吧？
对，哎、 Chairman, Madam, I believe, you know, some of Miss, the answer, you know, when I asked, you know, Miss Wong and Miss Han's answer, and I told that her, Miss Han, that, you know, your case is already finished. And let me ask about Miss Wong. Huang, Li Si, Ni Zai Xian Shang Ma? No response from Miss Wong.
Okay, Mr. Chelsea, you can confirm that, I'm sorry, the respondent, Miss Wong, is currently on the line?
Huang, Li Si, Ni Zai Xian Shang Ma? This interpreter, no response.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, would you like for me to proceed with a brief presentation?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On November 20th, 2019, the board received notification from the Attorney General's Office of Sex Crimes Violations, reporting that on November 16th, 2016, the respondent was arrested in the city of Scottsdale for one count of massage facility / refuse log / records, and one count of massage fail to display license. On April 10th, 2017, respondent was given diversion. Respondent was later indicted for prostitution on January 20th, 2020 for one count of conspiracy, one count of illegal control of enterprise, one count of money laundering, and one count of keeping or residing a house of prostitution. On August 17th, 2020, the respondent pled guilty to one count of illegal control of enterprise. The respondent failed to report the charges and conviction to the board within 10 days of each occurrence pursuant to statute. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Since the respondent is not on the phone or on the call, is there any discussion amongst the board members at this time?
I believe with her not being on the line, if we want to do anything, we have to move to formal interview. Is that correct?
Mr. Monahan?
That is correct. You could, based on what you've heard in the record, you could ask me to reach out and, you know, try to negotiate a consent agreement in the interim between now and the formal interview, or you could just continue it from where it's at and see if they come next time.
Okay. So we could handle this very much as we did the previous case. Mr. McLean, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, ma'am. So this is Nick McLean. I motion that in case 20-132 Huang Wong, that we move this to a formal hearing in the interim, that the AG could reach out and offer a consent agreement in regards to this case.
And that would be...
Mr. McLean... Sorry, Seamus, go ahead.
And that would be based on the factual allegations in the board's file?
Yes, sir, and the information that we currently have on hand.
Okay.
And Mr. McLean, if you could clarify whether that was a formal hearing or a formal interview.
I believe that would be formal hearing, sorry.
I believe the previous case we were sitting for a formal interview. Mr. Monahan, would you help us clarify which direction we should go?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. You could move this to a formal hearing, straight to a formal hearing based on subsection G. No, I apologize. It's not subsection G. It is...
While he's looking for that, just to clarify for the board, the prior case, the motion was for a formal interview, not a formal hearing.
If I may, Mr. McLean, usually we'll move forward to a formal interview if we were going to take action in the form of a consent agreement. Formal hearing would be more appropriate for talking about revocation, more serious steps in that direction.
Gotcha. Thanks. Yeah, provided we can bring a possibility to a close to that case with a formal interview, then that's fine. The movement, the motion would be for formal interview in that case, pending the AG being able to reach out and possibly arrange a consent agreement before that time.
Okay, and those are based on potential violations under 4253. And those numbers would be... Let's see. 15, engaging in sexual activity with a client.
Okay, and then also the... Do we have to address the not having the business advertised properly, or just the other one?
Just the other one.
Okay.
And then the 19, failure to report.
Seamus, does 19 tie in? 19 ties in the violation of 323208. That's what you mean by failure to report, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then 23, violating chapters of board or written board orders. Does that sound right, Board Member McClain?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Andrea, could you read that back and clean it up for me? Apologize.
Absolutely, absolutely. Once we get a seconder and we have a little discussion from the board, I'd be happy to read the motion back.
Yeah, Victoria Goldman, okay. I second the motion. Is there any discussion?
No.
Go ahead, Ms. Cisneros.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion is for the board to proceed to formal interview in this matter, and that is based on the potential violations of 15, 19, and 23 and the factual allegations in the case. You're also authorizing the Assistant Attorney General to enter into negotiation discussions for a possible consent agreement. The seconder was the chair. And roll call, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes.
Mr. Ortega.
Yes.
Mr. McClain.
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark.
Yep.
And Chair Bowman.
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Board staff and Mr. Monahan, if you would reach out to Ms. Wang and her attorney and handle this and bring it before us at a future meeting, I would appreciate that. Okay, thank you. This concludes that case. Let's move on to case number 21-120. Yu Yang, is she present? And I'm going to ask Mr. Chow if he would see if she is present and also if an attorney is present for her.
早上你好，这里是按摩学会的，他们会的开会，想问一下哈，这杨女士在不在线上？请回答。 This interpreter, no response from the responder.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Ms. Cisneros, would you please read a brief complaint summary?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. On October 8th, 2020, the board received notification that the respondent's massage license was revoked by the Nevada Massage Board based on the respondent's March 5th, 2020 arrest for solicitation and prostitution at the spa where she was employed. The district attorney declined to criminally prosecute respondent and her massage therapy license was revoked by the Nevada Board effective August 31st of this year. Of note, in the case file, on August 19th, 2020, respondent applied for licensure and during the application review process, the Nevada Board released verification on September 21st, 2020, indicating that the license was revoked. The respondent did not disclose this on her license application, and the license was denied on October 13th, 2020, for failure to meet the requirements for Arizona licensure. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So since there is no respondent to offer her side of it, Is there anyone on the board that has questions or would like to open the discussion?
Well, I believe since we have facts from the Nevada State Board of Revocation of License, we can continue on the same path to not grant her a license for Arizona. Is that?
And are we able to do that at this stage, or do we have to move to a formal interview again?
This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. This actually is an initial review. It's a license denial. So we can move on from this one right now, especially since she's not here, and we can continue this matter. And in the interim, I'll work with Andrew, our investigator, to get this re-agendized. She's been denied already. If she wants to petition, then, you know, we'll hold a formal hearing, but we need to get that. She needs to appropriately petition for that. So for life.
Mr. Chow, is Miss?
I heard someone. 是杨女士吗? No response from the responder.
It looks like she might be muted, but either way, we would need to back this one up
hello?
A little bit.
Hello,
excuse me, just a second. So we're going to need to back this one up just a little bit and have it re-agendized because it is a license denial. It's not an investigatory file.
Hello,
Nick, you're muted.
Let me ask you again. 请问你是杨女士吗?
是的,我是杨女士。
Okay, I think that Ms. Yang, she's on the line now.
Okay, well, that's okay, because we're just going to tell her that this matter will be continued and re-agendized and that the board will reach out to her.
现在我们告诉你,就是回应会他们的决定是说,这个个案继续到下个步骤,所以他们会有关的部门会跟您联系。
是这样的,问到我有些申诉,现在他们对我有什么样的要求呢?
Is there any requirement from me?
Not at this time.
现在没有, 他会跟你联系。
那我能不能讲两句话呢?
Can I say something?
That's up to the chair.
请你等一下。
谢谢。
So I will give her 2 minutes to make a response.
I think we're putting the cart before the horse here. You know, I really think that we need to just take this one off and re-agendize it because it's not an investigative review. It's a denial of a license.
Okay, so we need to have a motion to put it at either the December or January. Is that correct?
Yeah, we can move it to the December.
Okay, and we move to then under which category? Denial of license?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so is there a motion to that extent?
Emily Clark, I'd like to make a motion that we move this forward to our December meeting 2020 for case number 21-120 regarding a denial of the license and re-agendize.
Is there a second?
Kevin Ramsey, I'll second.
Mr. Cisneros, would you read the motion, please, and take a roll call vote?
Absolutely. The motion is to move this matter to the December 2020 meeting agenda for the license denial and have it re-agendized in such a way for the board to consider. Seconded by Mr. Ramsey. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Chow, would you please express that to Ms. Yang and that board staff will be in touch?
杨女士，你目前的讲没有必要说任何事情，现在他们的就是说这一周的委员会里面全票通过的，就是说你这个个案它会转到下个月12月20号，那么最主要根据你的那个执照申请被拒绝的理由，那么在这段时间到12月20号之间，就是有关的部门的人员会跟你联系。 会告诉你情况大概是怎么样，所以这个是他们目前的决定，所以是转到12月20号。啊，我知道了，多谢曹先生，多谢大家。I understand. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so let us now move to, let's take case 21-117. And that is Abdullah Wali. Okay. To the members of the board, this is the initial review of 21-117 Ubadala Wali. Involving massage therapist number 24909. Ms. Cisneros, would you give us a brief overview, please?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Before I begin, would you like to confirm whether or not the parties are on the line at the moment?
Yes, certainly. Mr. Wally, are you on the line? And if so, do you also have counsel on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. No, I do not have my counsel present right now.
Thank you. Are you represented by counsel? They're not on the line?
I don't have one yet. I wasn't clarified on what the steps were.
Okay.
It is. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Cisneros?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. One more. I apologize for interrupting. Do we want to confirm whether or not the client is on the line?
Okay, I believe the client is AL. Is AL on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the board, on September 29th, 2020, the board received a complaint from AL, who presented to Massage Green Spa for a spa treatment by the respondent. AL stated that respondent massaged her inner thigh area during the massage. He proceeded to place one hand on her inner thigh, so his hand was resting right next to her vagina, and she could tell he was grazing her outer labia and pubic hair while one finger or thumb was very close to her anus. AL alleged that respondent then proceeded to take his other hand and slide it under her underwear and run it across the top part of her pubic bone, touching her pubic hair, and that she felt her underwear moving aside and exposing her vagina. AL stated she was trying to comprehend what was happening and how to handle the situation while the respondent was asking her every 30 seconds to a minute or so if the pressure was okay, and she stated that she could hear excitement in his voice. AL stated that she finally told respondent that where he was massaging her was hurting her and had to tell him twice because he did not move away from the area the first time. He finally moved away from the area, and AL ended the massage after realizing they had gone over time. AL did not tell the receptionist what happened on her way out, but called the manager after leaving the building. AL also reported the incident to the Glendale Police Department in addition to the board. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wally, do you have any comments to make regarding this case?
I just would like to say that my intentions were never like that ever. I always try to do my best to help others. And every time I was in that area, I check on the pressure. He said, yes, I continue. I never, ever, ever, you know, put myself in that situation to do anything like that. And because when I entered this professionalism, I always wanted to just help others. And like I said, my intentions are never like that. Nor I would never do such a thing like that.
Thank you. AL, would you like to make any additional comments to what was written in the complaint?
I would just like to say that I myself am a massage therapist, and I went to Arizona School of Massage Therapy, and I know the protocol for massaging and draping and where you massage and where you don't. And I know the professional methods for working on the psoas, which is what he was claiming that he was doing. And in school, we are taught very, very, very strictly that if a client is wearing underwear, not only do you not go under the underwear, but you don't even touch that area. You know, if there's any clothing on a client's body, that you don't touch that area. That's considered a message that that's off limits. Uba did the exact opposite of what I was taught in school and what was the ethics that were pounded into me. He did everything that he should not have done. And the only thing I would like to say is I never thought that something like this, I don't know how I thought I would respond if something like this happened to me, but I never thought that I would just lay there and do nothing and say nothing, and that's what I did. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Are there any questions at this time on the board for either the people or for either Mr. Wally or AL?
Yes, Nick McLean. I have a question for Mr. Wally. In his opening statement, I did not hear a denial of the accusations made against him. So I'd like a little more information from him in regards to what took place and how he saw it happening, and if that is in fact how he has been educated in his draping and in massage of those areas.
Yes, sir. I mean, my draping policy, I went just how I was in school. And I was massaging the IT band and the adductors. That's when I noticed that the psoas muscle was tight. I asked the client if I was able to work at that. She said yes. That's the only thing I did was just was IT band, her adductors, her psoas. And I understand, like I learned in school, that we're not allowed to go under, we're not allowed to do any of that. And I swear to you, my intentions are never, ever, ever working like that, sir.
Can I respond to that?
Just a moment, please. Mr. McLean.
Mr. Wally, go ahead. Continue, Mr. Wally.
And even like, every massage that I have given since day one of me receiving my license, my clients have been, like every time they get off the table, they're happy with my massage. They leave the tip, and a tip that's even higher than usual. I ask them questions as we go. I tell them how it is. And if you guys go and ask all my other clients, they will tell you that I do everything how I learned in school. And that my intentions are never, ever to do such a thing or to harm anybody or to put them in any of those kind of situations. Because where I come from, we respect women. And I would never, ever, ever do such a thing like that.
So what is the draping method that you used for that massage?
Draping method, just try to lift the leg, slide it through, over. And then just how I learned in school. And I haven't taken any other continuing education. That was my goal because I'm a fast learner. I learn from my mistakes. If something that needs to be corrected, I correct it right away. And I try to do better every time.
And so what were some of these things that you needed to correct that you took the CEs for?
I have not taken any CEs. My goal was, because as I've been doing the massage these 2 years, I'm trying to find out which CEs that I should take to help out myself, whether it's draping, whether it's learning how to work on the psoas properly, learning how to making sure that my client is on my table to make them feel comfortable, relax. And like I said, all I want to do is help people. And I do it all the time, and I try my best at it. And I would never, ever.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walling.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Wayne, would you like to ask AL for an explanation or her comment?
Yes, Madam Chairman. So, AL, you were trying to jump in there. What was your response into how the draping was done, and two, if you can confirm or deny that you were being asked throughout, if the pressure was good, if the massage was going as expected, and then what, in fact, are the main areas that you are in disagreement with?
There were a couple questions you asked me there. I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yes, ma'am, no problem. One, you wanted to chime in. You had something that you wanted to make a comment on, so address that. Two, with your experience, how you felt if there was an issue with the draping. And three, were your concerns being addressed in regards to the pressure and whatnot that Mr. Wally says that he asked you if it was good, and you confirmed, and he continued to move on with the massage?
Right. So he didn't ask me if he could work on my psoas. He told me he was going to work on my psoas, and I said, okay. Assuming that he was going to do the standard moves, I guess you'd say, for psoas, which, being a massage therapist, I know what those are. There's a very specific draping procedure depending on how into the psoas you want to get. And the leg is not generally even draped. Like, it stays under the blanket. You actually drape from the chest down and cover the breast area first, of course. It's kind of an elaborate thing that you have to do. And then there's a very elaborate, I can't really verbally tell you, but involving your fingers in the hip area, like the high hip, the ASIS. I don't know how familiar everybody here is with the anatomy and the muscles and all that, but it's nowhere near the genitals where you work. And when Uba told me he was going to work on my psoas, and I said, okay, and then he started doing something else, it just took me so off guard that I really just didn't know what to do. He would ask me every 30 seconds to a minute. It was just way more than what you're supposed to for a therapist-client communication. You're not supposed to even ask that often how the pressure was, or if the pressure was okay. And all I could say was, mm-hmm, because I just couldn't wrap my brain around it. I don't know how to explain it. But without a doubt, Uba knows exactly what he was doing, which was not what he was supposed to be doing to work the psoas. And I don't know what school he went to, but I would have to say at this point that if he's claiming that he did what he learned in school, then that school should probably be shut down. As far as like my response to what Uba was doing, I hope I've communicated that well. Like I couldn't wrap my brain around what was happening.
If I could just say something.
Excuse me. Miss AL, how long have you been a LMT?
Since May of 2014. Okay. And I've taken dozens of CE classes in the 6 years that I've been a therapist.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the board for either Mr. Wally or AL, or shall we go into a discussion as to how we would like to take this case forward?
I have a question for AL.
Yes.
AL, this is the vice chair. In regards to his working the psoas, have you ever, as a massage therapist, have you ever worked the psoas on anyone?
Yes.
Okay. And you know, normally it's quite intense.
It is.
There are other ways of working the psoas without the intensification of one way.
Absolutely.
Okay. The other question I had kind of just left me.
Emily, if I may, I do have a few
sure,
questions.
Sure, go ahead, Kevin. I lost my train of thought here.
Hey, this is Kevin Ramsey. I'm a professional board member and LMT myself. I do have a couple of questions for you. Will you just clarify that all of the violations that you're claiming to have happened, is that taking place during this, psoas work portion of the massage, or was it any time outside of that?
It was just during that, and that was really that was the end of the massage.
Okay. I believe in our packets, you had also mentioned that the massage went longer than the designated time frame?
Yeah. Yes.
How long was the initial appointment for?
The initial appointment was for a standard 80 minutes, 90-minute massage with 10 minutes off on table. The original appointment time, if I can remember correctly, I think was at 7. I apologize. I don't remember the exact time, but he, okay. I believe it was from 7 to 8. No, I'm sorry. I can't remember. But I remember when I asked him, I could tell like the massage was just going way too long. And I asked him, are you going over? And he had said, he had made some comment, around, just about 20 minutes or so. And somewhere around that point is when I, told him I'm done. I had gotten him to move away from the area, but he was still massaging me, and I just wanted it done. So I had to tell him to end the massage.
Thank you for those questions. And if I may ask one more, during the psoas work portion of this massage, were you lying on your back or were you lying on your front?
I was lying on my back.
On your back?
Okay. I was pissed off.
Thank you. Okay, so let's go into board discussion.
If we get into board discussion, if I can clarify a few questions with Mr. Wally as well.
Certainly.
Mr. Wally, will you clarify that you did take the time over Is it true or not that you did take the appointment longer than it was initially scheduled, and whether or not the SOAS work that she described is accurate?
Thank you. Yes, I did go over a little bit, and that was just because she was my last client. She came just a little bit. She came early on time, but I was still dressing my table and stuff, so 5-10 minutes passed. So she was my last client, and majority of the time with my last clients, I kind of take my time. That way I don't rush them. So I give them about 5 to 10, 15 minutes, a little more. So that way they don't complain saying that I didn't take them on time. That's the only reason why I went over. And then the second about the SOAS, every time, like I said, when I was working on the area, pressure-wise and everything, I checked in. And her response was yes. And even in schools, I mean, like the other miss talked about it, that the SOAS can be intense. And that was my only reason why I kept checking in, to make sure that the pressure, that the pain level, everything is good for her. Okay. And like I said, I was first, when I draped her, I was just massaging her IT band and adductors. That led me to notice that her psoas was tight. And I asked her, may I work on the psoas? Response was yes. And I also want to say, when I was working, like even in the beginning of the massage, sir, when I started working on her, she gave me comments. She said, wow, the massage is good. You have exactly like my kind of style. You're going to be my favorite one. And after when the massage was over, came out, I asked any comments, suggestions, anything I could work on. She smiled, shook my hand, and then left. She even left me a tip as well. And
so, Mr. Wally, I'm also a licensed massage therapist. Will you describe where in the body the psoas is and where you were coming in contact with Ms. A.L. to specifically work on this muscle? Because I'm hearing inconsistencies between where you're describing, noticing that the psoas is tight, and the areas that you were currently working on.
Correct. Well, the psoas major is the biggest and the main hip flexor muscle. The muscle plays a major role in destabilizing the spine. When the psoas gets tight or shortened, it affects the pelvis. So you first started with draping the leg, and then you start with small circles, and then the pressure builds from there. And the client even said, go ahead, put an elbow in there. And I would even check. I was like, are you sure? She was like, yes. And
okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wally.
Can I ask a question, Madam Chair?
A short one, yes.
Okay, Mr. Wally, where would you mentioned that you start with circles. Where would you have placed those circles on AL to start working the psoas?
Right by the where the hip bone is. Maybe an inch, a little forward. That's it, and that's where you would start your, because it's the deepest muscle. And so you start with the circle motion, circle, circle, and then you increase the pressure as we go, and you hold the point. And that's exactly what I did. And like I said, the psoas muscle is very tense, and some clients, you know, will feel uncomfortable just being in that area.
Did you call for movement on the part of the client?
I'm sorry?
Did you call for movement on the part of the client when working, trying to work the psoas?
What do you mean? Asking her the permission?
No, call for movement. There's another.
No, I did not make any movement. I just, because the psoas is so confusing, even learning it in school, that I just learned the basic part just doing the circle motion, increasing the pain, and then hold it down.
Okay. I would like to interrupt at this point.
I'm done.
Thank you. I think as a board, we need to decide what to do with this case, and that these questions would perhaps be better asked in a formal interview, if that's the direction that we want to go. I certainly think we have two people that know enough about it, being that they're both LMTs. And so I would entertain that perhaps we want to send this to a formal interview. Is there any discussion regarding that?
I believe that's probably accurate. The thought process that I'm looking at for potential action on this file, I think, would be best in formal interview.
Would you like to make that motion, Mr. Ramsey?
Sure. This is Kevin Ramsey. I'm going to move that we take case 21-117 and move to a formal interview.
Emily Clark, second.
And Mr. Ramsey, is that... Sorry, Madam Chair, if I may. No,
that's okay, Mrs. Neros. If you would like to qualify that, I would appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Ramsey, is that based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations as stated in the investigative report?
That is correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what were the potential violations of law attached to that under 4253?
Potential violations of law that I'm seeing would be 4253, 8, 10, 14, potentially 15, although I'm not sure if that...
We probably don't have the evidence for that.
Yeah. And 23.
Six. What about 6?
I think we should include 16 in that one.
Which is the failure to adhere to recognized standards and ethics of the massage therapy profession?
Yes.
And then 23, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
So, Mrs. Neros, would you read back the motion and take a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion is for the board to proceed to formal interview in this matter based on the potential violations of 8, 10, 14, 16, and 23. Roll call, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think at this time we will take a 5-minute break. It is now 11:05. And so let's take 5 minutes and meet back here at 11:10.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Now, am I done, miss, or am I coming back?
Yes, you are, Mr. Wally. The board staff will be in touch with you. Chair Bowman, you're muted.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that for Mr. Wally. Yes, thank Absolutely. You for attending today, and board staff will be in touch with you. Thank you. And
may I just ask, what's the next steps that we'd be looking for?
You are slated for a formal interview, and you can discuss that with board staff. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And for me, I'm okay too.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for attending today. Board staff will be in touch with you as well.
Okay. Thank you.
11:10, Monday, November 23rd, 2020, and the massage board meeting resumes. Okay. I would like to. I see Ms. Cisneros, Mr. Ortega, Mr. Ramsey. So I need Ms. Clark, and
there she is.
She pop on?
Yes, her hand did.
Okay, well, her hand did. Okay, there we go. Okay, well,
do we have Mr. McLean as well?
Not sure yet. We'll give him another minute. Well, while we're waiting for Mr. McClain, let us bring up case 20125 and 20143, Jack Rogerson.
Madam Chair, before you start, do you want to see if Mr. Chow is still with us? Because I don't believe we have any more cases that will need him.
Okay, Mr. Chow, are you on the line? He might not be back yet either, so I'll give him another minute.
Chair Bowman?
Yes.
And just a reminder, we want to take these two matters separately. However, I do understand the board has already heard these matters numerous times. So, right. If it's a little bit bifurcated, I think I understand where the board is moving with this one. I completely understand. So I just wanted to put that out there, though. Okay,
so we need to take one separately. Yes, go ahead, Mrs. Narrows.
My apologies, Madam Chair. Thank you. Seamus, does it matter that the board previously voted to consolidate these? Do they need to make a motion to separate them out, or we can just proceed with them separately how they are?
That motion was made when we remanded them back to investigations a couple months ago, so they can still hear them independently.
Okay.
And then you can consolidate them again if you'd like for, formal interview or formal hearing purposes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, is Mr. McClain on the line?
If you'd like, Madam Chair, we do currently have a quorum. I could do a quick roll call, and then we can proceed from there, if you'd like.
Thank you.
Okay. Roll call after our initial break. Where is my form? Mr. Ramsey?
Present.
Mr. Ortega?
Present.
Mr. McClain? Mr. McClain? Vice Chair Clark?
Present.
And Chair Bowman?
Present. Okay, so
okay, thank you.
When Mr. McClain pops on, I will make note of that verbally, so we have that. Okay, let's go forward with case 20125, Jack Rogerson. This is an investigative review. Mrs. Narrows, would you give us a brief complaint summary?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you first like to confirm whether or not the parties are on the line?
Certainly. Mr. Rogerson, are you on the line? Okay. Is MM on the line? Okay. Mr. McClain has just joined us, so that's just noted. So, MM, if you're on the line, please unmute and just confirm that. Okay. Is JL on the line? And is MJ on the line? Okay, so we have none of the complainants or the respondent on the line. Would you proceed with the complaint summary?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is agenda item number 5 for Jack Rogerson, case number 20-125. In October 2019, the board initiated this matter after receiving complaints from MM, JL, and MJ regarding the respondent's alleged misconduct while employed at A Natural Massage and Day Spa. MM alleged that she had been subjected to and witnessed with others sexual harassment and verbal and hostile abuse by the respondent while working at the day spa. MM claimed that respondent demanded she be naked for her massage, stating that the massage was easier and better with no sheet, and MM stated that he fondled the entire breast while claiming to perform a breast exam. MM also alleged that she was bullied into giving the respondent massages and that when she entered the room, he was completely naked with no sheet face down. MM stated that halfway through the hour, the respondent turned over and saw that she was uncomfortable and placed a washcloth over his penis. MM also reported that several other employees were having similar issues with the respondent, have reported their concerns to the owner, and that on one occasion, the respondent confronted one of the therapists as a result. JL reported that she was hired as an independent contractor for the day spa in September 2019, and after one training session with respondent, began to feel that he was inappropriate in the way he touched the inner thigh area of women clients. JL stated that as she continued her training, she observed respondent rubbing a woman's breast as a part of his massage routine. She stated that as a part of her training, she was asked to massage respondent and that when she entered the room, he was on top of the sheets, face down with no draping. JL reported her concerns with the owner of the business, including her discomfort with respondent's continual requests for her to massage his glutes and his demeanor with his women clients. JL claimed that respondent subsequently confronted her, stating it was not a big deal and that she didn't need to tell the owner that he was asking her for unpaid massages. The owner was informed and respondent was removed from the schedule on the days that JL worked, and JL later resigned on October 23rd. MJ alleged that respondent was very inappropriate while training her for the position she was never hired for at the day spa. MJ stated that respondent was completely nude for training and that after the first session alone, she was very uncomfortable with the respondent. MJ claimed that she has witnessed the respondent drape women's breasts partially and request that they remove all their clothing so we can get to their glutes more. The board previously considered this case at its December 16th, 2019 meeting, and after hearing from the respondent, voted to proceed to formal interview. The respondent thereafter declined the formal interview invitation, and at its February 24th, 2020 meeting, the board voted to consolidate this case with case number 20-143 and refer the matters to formal hearing. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Bowman?
Yes, Mr. Monahan.
I'm sorry to jump in, but Investigator White could confirm this, but it is my understanding that Mr. Rogerson does not want to participate in this process. That is why he is not here today.
Thank you. Mr. White, can you confirm that, please?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, thank you. So I would like to open up the discussion. Mr. Rogerson has basically stated that he is retiring or has retired. And I think my concern is that, if we do not deal with this case and take it somewhere, that he could very easily pay the fees and the late fees and reactivate his license with no consequences for what has occurred. In this case, and so I would like to open that to discussion. Let me ask this first of board staff. It's my understanding that his license does not expire until May of 2021. Is that accurate? So while he may have retired, he still has an active license. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. White. So regarding this from board staff,
Chair Bowman, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General again. I did want to point out that based on the factual allegations and the posture of this case, you do have the option to consolidate these matters and move them directly to formal hearing, bypassing the formal interview, especially considering that the respondent has indicated multiple times that he does not want to participate.
Okay. Mr. Monahan, may I then open this up for case 20143 and we hear the summary?
Chair Bowman, you would want to make... I apologize.
Go ahead, please.
Stepping on your toes here. The best case would be to take each separately, make a motion on 2125, and then when you get to 2143, you can consolidate that with 2125 for the formal hearing.
Okay. So I would like to move that we offer Mr. Rogerson a consent agreement for surrender of license. Based on 3242 53.
And I can help you, Chair Bowman. I believe that is number 8.
Yes.
Number 10.
Yes.
14. 16. And 23. B2D.
Yes, thank you. And that if the respondent does not agree to the consent agreement or ignores us completely, then I move this go to formal hearing.
And if that's not, let's say, not accepted within 30 days?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, that's to proceed to formal hearing for license revocation?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that is also based on the factual allegations contained in the file?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
Kevin Ramsey, I'll second.
Mrs. Narrows, when your keyboard quits clicking, if you would please read the motion and then take a roll call vote.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion is for the board to offer the respondent a consent agreement for voluntary surrender of licensure based on violations of 32, 42, 53, 8, 10, 14, 16, and 23, B, 2, and D. If not signed within 30 days, the matter shall proceed to formal hearing for license revocation based on the factual allegations contained in the board's file. Roll call vote. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Okay, and so if board staff would take care of that, and then let us go to case 20143, also Mr. Jack Rogerson. And Mrs. Narrows, if you would read.
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Would you first like to confirm that the respondent is still not with us and whether or not client ES is on the line?
What are the initials?
ES.
ES. Okay, thank you. Is Mr. Rogerson on the line? And is Ms. ES on the line? Okay, go ahead, Mrs. Narrows.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On January 7th, 2020, the board received a complaint from ES regarding the respondent's alleged misconduct that occurred at a natural massage and day spa. ES stated that upon her hiring at the day spa, she was instructed to provide respondent with massages to demonstrate her massage abilities and techniques. ES stated that respondent told her he does not wear or use any draping while getting massages, and ES stated that she refused to massage him without being draped. ES stated that after massaging respondent, he stated that he had to give her one, and that this is where she noticed his mirror on the wall that allowed him to view naked bodies as he turns clients over. ES claimed that while being massaged by respondent, her breasts became exposed and that he made a comment that made her very uncomfortable. This matter was considered by the board at its February 24th, 2020 meeting for investigation review, at which time the board voted to consolidate this case with case number 20-125. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Monahan, would it be appropriate now to case to get?
I apologize, Madam Chair. You kind of went out there. I couldn't hear you.
Is this the appropriate time to join these together, or should we discuss it separately?
If you have discussion, absolutely. As we know, the board has heard this matter before. If you don't have discussion regarding it, then you can go right into making your motion regarding this matter, especially considering we don't have the respondent or the complainant on the phone to provide any new information.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
No, ma'am.
So I would like, in my mind, we have four massage therapists that have had very similar complaints against one individual. And I would like to consolidate this case, 20-143, with case 20-125 and allow the previous motion to stand for both cases.
So the consent agreement for voluntary surrender would then would consolidate both of these for the consent purposes and for formal hearing purposes if not accepted, correct?
Yes, thank you.
Emily Clark, I would second that.
Mrs. Cisneros, would you read the motion and take a roll call vote, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Before I proceed with that, can I have the motion maker and seconder confirm what the statutory violations are for this case?
It would be 32, 42, 53, 8, 10, 14, 16, 23, B2, and D.
Okay, perfect. The motion is for the board to consolidate case number 20-143 with case 20-125. Allow the previous motion to stand in that this case will be included with the other matter when we offer a consent agreement for the respondent to voluntarily surrender his license. If not signed within 30 days, the matter will proceed to formal hearing for license revocation. And then roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passed unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. And would board staff please take care of this? Okay, let's move on to case 21-118, Fernando Trejo. And is Ms.
Madam Chair, your microphone is cutting out again. Would you repeat that?
Excuse me?
Your microphone had cut out when checking to see.
Okay, thank you. So this is case 21-118 with Fernando Trejo. Is Mr. Trejo on the line? And also, is the complainant SL on the line? If so, please unmute and identify yourself. Okay. Mrs. Cisneros, would you give us a brief overview of the consent or the complaint summary?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On October 6, 2020, the board received a complaint from SL regarding a spa treatment she received at Le Mans Spa in Litchfield Park on September 20th, 2020 with the respondent. SL alleged that she was massaged without covering her buttocks and that her breasts were massaged, as were her inner thighs, and that respondent penetrated her with his fingers. SL stated that after realizing what had occurred, she curled up in shame, and respondent asked if she was okay and stated that he would be right outside and to know when she was done changing. SL stated that it took her a few days to gather her thoughts on what had transpired before contacting the board, that respondent abused his position and should not be allowed to continue. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
We did have a preliminary matter here in this instance, and Investigator White can jump in and help me with this. Mr. Trejo did ask for a consent for voluntary surrender, which we drafted and sent to him at his request. So I would just like to see from Andrew if we've ever received that back or any other information regarding it.
I haven't been in the office, so I don't know.
Okay.
I can tell you.
Okay.
Okay. Would it be appropriate, Mr. Monahan, for us to move to follow up on that consent agreement and give it, I don't know, 15 more days? And if it's not signed, move it to formal hearing?
I don't think it would be appropriate to move to formal hearing, seeing as how we don't have the respondent or the complainant here. Okay. You could move it to informal interview since they're not here today and ask them if they'd like to be here.
Okay. Informal interview or
formal? Formal interview. I apologize.
Okay, that's okay.
And then in the interim, sorry, Madam Chair, if I may, in the interim, the staff can follow up with the respondent to see if he would be interested in voluntarily surrendering before it returns to the board.
Yes, thank you.
And he may have sent in his voluntary surrender with Investigator White, you know, not being in the office recently. It may be there, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay. It does appear from the gentleman's correspondence that he is interested in surrendering his license.
Right. Yeah. So, is there a motion to follow up on the consent agreement for surrender that he requested, and if it has not been signed and returned, have it moved to a formal interview?
Yes.
I'll make a motion that we follow up with the signed agreement, consent agreement, and if it has not been signed, move it to a formal interview.
Madam Vice Chair, if I can ask for a point of clarification, the moving it to formal interview, is that based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations as stated in the investigative report?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ms. Cisneros, would you read back the motion and take a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Who seconded the motion?
We need a second.
Kevin Ramsey, I'll second.
Thank you. The motion is for the board to follow up with the respondent as to whether or not he will be signing the consent agreement to voluntary surrender. If not, the matter shall proceed to formal interview based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations as stated in the investigative report. Before I do a roll call, would the board like to consider whether or not to put a time frame on there to have it placed on for a formal interview, like give him a deadline now for when to sign that consent agreement?
I believe they previously mentioned 15 days.
Okay. Yes, would the motion maker and seconder be okay with that?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Roll call vote. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And so as staff is able to get back into the building, if you would take care of this and handle it appropriately. Okay.
Madam Chair, you're breaking up.
Okay. I'm not sure why, but okay. Is that better?
A little bit better, yes.
A little bit. Okay. Mr. Augerton, could we have the executive director's report?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Let me email each of you something right now, but Tony's going to put it up on the schedule for us there to present it. Okay, you'll all be getting an email in just a moment. A suggestion came from the chair, I believe it was at our last meeting or subsequent to the last meeting, that in preparation for continued involvement with the Governor's Regulatory Review Council, which will be on the December 14th calendar as an agenda item, that we ought to do a survey of current licensees as it pertains to the COVID situation and its impact on the industry. I did contact what we used to call the task force. I'm calling it now an advisory group. I did contact all of the members of the group that's been working with the board on GIRC matters individually, and then we had a collective discussion by phone as well. And on the December 14th meeting, I think each of you has already received a proposed agenda on what we would discuss, and we would have a speaker from FSMTB, one from the AMTA, the first chair, Mara Concordia, to the board, and John Sweeney from the Pima County Community College, and so forth. Anyway, if Tony can get this up on the screen, if not, I just sent it to you by email. What the chair had proposed is we do a questionnaire of the licensees at the board website. Now, I guess I'll just read this to you in the event that it doesn't come up on the screen. I just have five sample questions, and the purpose of this discussion is to ask you if you think these questions would provide useful and salient answers that we would then provide to GIRC, or if you would like to use or amend other questions that you think of this morning. So basically, the five-question format would be, number one, these are all yes or no. Number one, has the COVID-19 virus pandemic impacted your employment and earnings in calendar year 2020? Number two, is there a change in the level of confidence that your clients have in the safety of massage treatments or facilities this year because of the pandemic? Number three, have you considered a change of career away from massage because of the ongoing virus pandemic? Yes or no? Number four, would you have an interest in supplementary massage education for newly discovered health protocols to provide safe massage therapy with COVID-exposed patients? Yes or no? And then a subset of this question, number four, would be, would you have an interest if the state of Arizona provided this training online and without cost for currently licensed therapists? Yes or no? And then the last question is, do you know of someone who has contracted the COVID virus and recovered? Yes or no? Or contracted the COVID virus and died? Yes or no? And I think what the chair was trying to suggest and what we're trying to offer this morning is to put some questions out among the current licensure to give some form of measurable as well as anecdotal report to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council as we get back into discussion in early 2021 with any changes to the board's rules. So, for example, most of you will remember this last time we had discussions with GIRC, there was discussions on how many hours for initial training, and there was other discussion regarding how many hours for continuing education. So members of the task force, and principally Mara Concordia, recommended that there is a critical need now for some type of exposure to current licensees on different considerations commensurate with individuals who may have contracted the virus, and not so much in terms of public health and safety as in contagion, but more in terms of changing massage techniques for individuals who still may have blood clotting problems or organ accumulation of blood clotting problems and so forth. And would there be a benefit to having some educational intervention with current licensees made available to them as per this the current pandemic that we're going through? So anyway, those five questions are just samples to get the conversation started, but I'm sure many of you will have some suggestions of questions that also need to be answered or asked instead of the ones I've proposed here for you. So, Madam Chair, I would turn this back to you to see what type of discussion you would like to offer the staff as the board with regard to the concept of the questionnaire and what the content should be.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate you working on this. My concern is that GIRC wants us to drop our hours, and we've agreed to maybe dropping it to 650. And they want us to go back down to 500. They also want us to eliminate the need for English language proficiency. And personally, this scares me in our field to have that happen. I think we have an ideal situation. This is a benefit to COVID to basically say, no, we don't need to lower our hours. We may need to raise our hours, or at least maintain where we are, because they shut our, if we're health professionals, we should be able to handle our industry even when some and then the other thought I'm going to talk about is will see this survey. I'll slow down and hopefully you can hear it. I also employ each of us to encourage massage therapists we know to go on to our website and take the questionnaire. The only ones that will actually know about it are those that go on the site to do their renewal, unless we can spread the word as a, quote, grassroots movement. So I will open this up for comment and discussion from other board members.
There was an article in Massage and Body Work not too long ago by Ruth Werner that deals with massage therapy and the COVID situation and how we can not only protect ourselves, but protect our clients as well. And if anyone has not availability to that article, I will do what I can, see what I can do to forward a copy to you guys so you can see. It's a very in-depth article, very well written, and very, very informative. I read it, and I was extremely impressed, and there was a lot of stuff in there that's like, oh, okay, as a massage therapist, yes, I do that and that. Oh, maybe I need to make sure that I take care of this. So if anybody's interested in that, it's in the Massage and Body Work magazine. I'll have to go pull my issues because it was within the last couple of months or last couple of issues that it was available. So I think it's worth reading for us to better understand it and be put it out there that if other massage therapists don't have this article, they need to be able to have access to it and be able to read it. It's worth reading.
Ms. Clark, I would like to ask you to please go ahead and forward that to our executive director, because I doubt that Mr. Ortega or Mr. McLean have access to that. And I think it would be important for them as our public members to be aware of what literature we have out there. Thank you.
Sure, I can do that. I'll look that up the next day or so and make sure he gets that.
Thank you.
What's the justification for the change of hours?
To make the industry easier for people to come into the field, and they don't feel the statute was 500 hours, and then the rules took it to 700 hours, and they don't think that it takes that to learn massage.
So is that a financial impact as well?
I would say they're probably thinking that. Mr. Augerton, would you like to comment?
Madam Chair and Board Member McLean, we spent about 8 months going to different meetings and having different discussions with the members of the Governor's Council and the staff. And it seems as if you look at their mandate and their mission and their statutory authority, they serve as kind of a canary in the coal mine vigil to make sure that there are not unnecessary or burdensome or needlessly expensive barriers to people doing respective industries in the state of Arizona. So their orientation is less is more, meaning less of everything. Cost of regulation, hours to become employed in the field. A lot of this philosophy came with the establishment of legislation permitting for reciprocity. Without getting into a whole tome on the discussion, it's just an attempt to make sure that government does not become overly ambitious with what it says it needs for credible regulation to the point where people are prevented or burdened in their process of becoming employed. And that's always kind of a give and take as you have that discussion, which is pretty much what we did before the GIRC. The trouble is that in my best analysis is that the philosophical goal of effective regulatory infrastructure, even with that mandate, is still challenged with the fact that, like most things in life, 95% of the people follow the directions and the protocols and the requirements. But for those who don't and end up before each of you on a monthly basis, there are victims. There are quantifiable victims within all industries, and you could talk to the other executive directors and hear some very interesting stories of what happens when people slip past the state's regulatory infrastructure. So the balance becomes what's good public policy versus what represents an unfair burden. In the massage industry in Arizona, I would remind all of you that we have two challenges. Number one, we have individuals that come to our state with credentials that don't document any massage training whatsoever, and that don't document the fact that these people are here to do massage, because they present to us former criminal records where they have pled down to charges like trespassing and disorderly conduct, but the original arrests and charges were for activities involving prostitution. So this industry continues to have a challenge of licensing, a difference between people who have been trained and want to actually make a career out of this profession versus those that are skirting around in the shadows and providing other services, many of whom, as we know from FSMTV, have been trafficked, and many of whom are, in fact, coming from China as foreign nationals. The second thing that I would offer you very quickly is that every monthly meeting, I represent all of you before the FSMTV with our counterparts around the country. And Arizona has a reputation for being one of the least effective licensing entities in the state, and I'm sorry, in the country, in terms of getting people into their systems who have not had massage training, who have had criminal activities in their past. And California is the entry point for a lot of this problem. And I won't get into an analysis in this forum with regard to what's happening in California. But what starts in California typically very quickly comes to Arizona. So in order to have, if you want to really have a comprehensive discussion about what represents credible infrastructure in the state of Arizona that protects the massage industry and that protects the general public, I would find it fascinating to learn why less than 700 hours would be something of benefit, why removing English, not competency, but familiarity, would be a plus for the industry and the consuming public, and why removing the national certification tests for English language competency, the TOEFL and the TOEIC, why removing these things that came to the board from the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. I would love to know what the specific benefit is either to the consuming public or to the industry practitioners, given the reality of the challenges facing us day in and day out. So it's way too long for the answer you probably were looking for, but in my defense, we spent 8 months discussing it before the Governor's Review Council. So.
Yeah, members, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. I apologize, but we are not agendized to get this deep into the discussion. So if we want to put it on for next month's agenda to have a deep dive discussion, but we need to be careful here since we don't have it agendized that way.
Right. Thank you. So we need to get back to the survey questions. I feel they have a twofold approach. One is we need to support our industry members with in regard to how this pandemic has affected them, and could we come forward with education to help them be safe, more successful, and safe for their clients as well. And a subsequent offshoot of that or side effect would be to have information that we could then substantiate why we have the number of education hours we do. So let's get back to how is everybody basically happy with these five questions? We want to make it easy and accessible. Do you think of a question that perhaps you would like to ask, and we would like it to be yes and no so that it's easy for board staff to get us tallies, yes, no, yes, no, or any other discussion on these survey questions?
I believe the survey is a good way to kind of touch base and kind of feel the pulse of licensees that's in Arizona. I think they're important questions to approach. I think that they are, I think every licensee could probably have a very distinct yes or no to each of these questions. And so I like that it is very straightforward. I can't at this time think of anything else that I would add to it, but I definitely want to mull it over a little bit and, you know, if I can continue this, if it's unless it's going to go, unless we want to get it out before the next meeting.
My thought was to get it out now, since we're going to have a discussion. We need to get back with GIRC, and so we're going to have four industry people slated next month to talk about things regarding COVID, our field, and GIRC. And so my idea, we can always update this survey in the future if we want, but to get something started so that we actually have some kind of tally as we go into the new year, because our meeting in the new year won't be until the third or fourth Monday of the month, and we need to be in touch with GIRC prior to that. Would you say that's correct, Mr. Augerton?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. So, Ms. Clark, do you have any thoughts on this?
I think the questions are very straightforward and to the point. And like you said, we can always update it in the future if we decide at a later date that we need to ask questions, change them up, or you know, ask additional questions to clarify something that may come up in between. But I think the questions right now are pretty much straightforward and to the point, and I think it would be a great benefit if we could get this out, put it on our website, and be able to get it to other therapists by word of mouth to go up to the website and take the survey.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Ortega, do you have any ideas or comments?
As a beginning survey, no, it sounds pretty thorough. I was, off the top of my head, I would be curious to know how many therapists are afraid to go back into this, or afraid every time they go out and they do a massage, or afraid of taking it home to their family, anything like that.
From my experience of some of the people that I have talked to, I'd say it's probably close, maybe 50-50. Some people don't really care, but they still take the necessary precautions when they're working with clients, whether, especially if they're doing it in a spa setting like Massage Envy and Elements Massage, Hand and Stone, etc. Those companies are taking the necessary precautions, so the therapist should not necessarily worry as long as they're following all the necessary protocols. But those that are doing private practice that go to individuals' homes or have a specific location that they may have clients come to see them, they have some reservations. Many of them tell me they still make the clients wear a mask, and they wear a mask. Some people may wear gloves, which is perfectly acceptable. And some people know their clients. If they've had their clients for many years, they know their clients, and they may check in with them. Have you had a test? Have you tested positive? If they have not, and you know that you're okay, then they're usually okay with not necessarily wearing a mask or gloves or the whole shebang. So it's kind of half and half for who's afraid and who's not afraid.
Okay, so in looking at our questionnaire, question three, have you considered a change of career? We could have that be question 3A, and maybe 3B would be, do you have a fear of taking contaminating or exposing your family to something a client has? Mm-hmm. Do you have a fear of taking this home to your family?
I was thinking about that as Ms. Clark was describing you know, her response. You know, question two, is there a change in level of confidence your clients have in the safety of massage treatments? I think it would fit in really well with the 2B. Is there a change in level of confidence that you as a licensee have in the safety of massage treatments?
Okay.
I think that might fit in well.
Right. Okay. So we'll put A and B. Did you get that, Mr. Robertson? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that makes it more natural.
Sure. Okay, well, Mr. McLean, would you like to weigh in?
Of course. I would maybe consider, you know, this has been a topic in the news lately, a question added to that in regards to would they be willing to receive the COVID vaccine if their employment was dependent upon it. From what I'm hearing, employers are going to be allowed to enforce that as a requirement. So maybe get a feel for how some of your folks are feeling if that is made a requirement of them. And you can maybe tie that into your question about are you looking at another career field. But other than that, I think initially short and sweet is going to make it more likely that they're going to answer. And then one of the areas that may help in regards to what Kevin was getting to is instead of additional questions from there, ask them, do they have any comments they would like to share, you know, with the organization.
Thank you. I put down on mine comments. So I think maybe under three, if we're in agreement, to ask, would you take a mandatory vaccine if your employment depended upon it, and have that as a yes or no? And then maybe at the bottom, they could write in a comment if they wanted.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. I got that.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll, I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll
we need
reissue, Madam Chair, we'll reissue this with the changes just suggested by the board, and then we'll send it back out for final board review before posting to the website.
Okay. Mr. Monahan, do we need a motion to do this? I think he's...
Seamus, you're muted.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, we had a motion originally to delegate the board to do this, so I think that we're safe there.
Okay.
If you're just telling the board to make changes and bring it back, then we're good to go.
Okay, wonderful. And then for all of us that have contacts, let them know as soon as it's up. So I'm sure Mr. Augerton will do that too. Thank you. I'm kind of excited to hear what they have to say. Okay, Mr. Augerton, an update on the massage board budget?
This is going to be very brief, I promise. next month, we're going to preview... I'm just going to preview today without getting into detail that in addition to the GIRC agenda item next month, I had told you at our last meeting we would have a December agenda item on your waivers, your COVID waivers, of which you basically have three. You have the renewal license waiver, you have the late fees waiver, and you have the continuing education waiver. So we're going to agendize that for the December meeting. And if you decide to take any action, it'll be worded in such a way in December where you can do that. But I wanted to give you some information today, and we'll have an update for you in December. But we had mentioned before how much of an impact financially on the revolving fund has been the waiver of the $95 for license renewal, but also any late fees, because we do have individuals that have let their license lapse, and they can still come back up to 3 years with a simple renewal. Now, in normal times, they would pay an increasing schedule of penalties to the licensing fee because they had failed to keep it current for 3 years. Currently, remember, the license fee is being waived, but so are the late fees as well. So that'll be on the agenda for December, and you can make a decision on it, or you can indicate to staff you want that to go forward or whatever. But to help you with your deliberations next month, let me just give you a number that I got from the Central Services Bureau. The most recent level of funding in the fund balance for the massage board as of last month was $1,322,265. Now, that figure, $1.3 million, is decreasing. And if you look at their projections going out 6 months, by the time we get to May of next year, before the end of the fiscal year, we'll be right above 1 million. If you go to the end of next fiscal year, we would be at 1.083 million. And I can give these numbers to you next time in writing when it's posted on the agenda. But the fund is being lessened by these renewal fees. But if you continue to do it for as much as 6 more months, you're still above the $1 million threshold that typically you don't want to go beneath, because your operating needs are roughly, ordinarily, about twice what the balance would be. I'm sorry, 50% of what the balance would be in the revolving fund. So if you start to go below $1 million, you're getting into potential future ability for board operational funding. And like I say, I'll give you a more specific number. But if you were asked today, we're still above $1 million. We're about 1.3, and we're decreasing with the policy that you have before you. Now, if Seamus is still with us, Seamus indicated to us, and we can discuss this in December, we have to coordinate with the governor's office and his original executive orders. And I don't know if he's still with us or not. I don't see him on the screen here. So
yeah, I'm still here, Tom.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Is there anything new on that issue that we need to tell the board when this comes before them next month? Because there was some indication we may not have the authority without coordinating with the governor's executive order.
Yeah, and I really can't advise you on it, which, you know, which is the need to talk to the governor's office about it and coordinate with them on, you know, how they expect these to resolve, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, then before the December meeting, we'll consult with the board's staff liaison and get that answer for the December meeting. But I just wanted to give you that number today, because we had talked about in the past how much money we're spending per month. You started this on March 1st of this year, and obviously we're now in November. So we're still currently at $1.3 million in the revolving fund.
Thank you. Summary of current events. I think everything is in order. I don't have any current events. Does anyone else have anything that we need to discuss? Okay, of that matter. Discussion and possible action items for future massage board agendas. Well, I think right now we need to stay focused on GERC and fees and COVID and our field in general. Is there any topic that someone would like to toss out on the table for us to consider after the first of the year?
Yes, Prop 207, you know, how that's going to affect the industry, especially taking into consideration that some cities in particular are going to pass their own guidance in regards to the use of marijuana. So it's going to break down even further. So if we look at the industry, which may be heavily related to Scottsdale and Mesa, you know, how are these particular cities going to impact the guidelines that you folks are going to have in regards to 207, use of marijuana versus, you know, any of the derivatives?
Right. So, Mr. Ogerton, would it be possible maybe for the January or February meeting to have the individual we had a couple weeks ago about the CBDs?
Yes, Madam Chair, Board Member McLean, what I would suggest to you guys is we return the Department of Health Safety Assistant Director to give us an update on the passage of the proposition by the voters. But also, let me see if I can get Ken Strobeck to come in from the Executive Director of the League of Cities and Towns and have him give an update as to what his municipal members are doing, either specifically or generally, which is the other issue you spoke about. If we had those two speakers, we could probably allocate about 30 minutes total, between 20 and 30 minutes total, and cover the issue pretty adequately.
Okay.
And we can do that in January if you'd like.
Right. Well, will you check with their schedules and get that lined up? Thank you. Great idea.
I would like to kind of confirm.
Board meeting will be Monday. Yes. Mr. Ramsey.
Chair. Sorry, Mr. Ramsey.
No, it's okay.
I just wanted to piggyback on what Mr. Ogerton was just instructed to bring forth to the board the first of the year as far as Prop 207. Based on my work with other board clients, there are other boards that are currently looking into this too. So I didn't know if maybe, Tom, you wanted to reach out to other executive directors. There's also the board might want to consider
other states such as Colorado, California, places where this has already been legalized and they've already had an impact on their regulated community, maybe you'd want to reach out to those states' professional boards and see if you can get some input from there too.
Great idea.
Thank you. Mr. Ramsey, did you have some comments?
I just wanted to confirm. Yeah, I wanted to confirm for the next meeting that, you know, our discussion entails, you know, the questions that we're receiving from GRC, the Regulatory Review Council, that this is entailing both kind of the COVID questionnaire that we're looking at and identifying steps forward from there, as well as, you know, the process that's been started since last year. Are we also going to discuss kind of those actions in that next meeting as well?
Mr. Augerton, I think you probably need to answer that.
Madam Chair, Mr. Ramsey, the short answer is yes. We received a letter, which all of you should have received a copy from in November from GRC, asking us kind of where we were at. And I responded and gave, in fact, the information 2 days ago that this was going to be agendized in December. And the board would give direction as to how it proceeded. But there would be no activity by the board really until 2021, because your meeting is December the 14th. In the letter that we received from GRC, and I'll send it out again to everybody when we get through with this meeting, I'll let the letter, the email, speak for itself in terms of what questions they're asking. And I did activate the advisory group again with an email and a phone call telling them that the band is going on tour again this spring, and we need the band members to come back, and bass guitar again will be Mara Concordia. So that's a lengthier answer to your question, but the answer is yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And before we adjourn, I just want to give a special shout out and a thank you to both Ms. Cisneros and Mr. Monahan for keeping us on point and on our toes, especially when it comes to languages and deciphering, making things clear for the public. I think you've both been a great help this past year. So thank you both.
Thank you. Good
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I would absolutely staff, and I think you make us look good. Okay, our next board meeting will be Monday, December 14th. That's only a few weeks away, at 9:30 a.m. However, I've had a request that we meet at 8:30 in an executive meeting. Is that correct, Mr. Monahan?
No, I think that we changed that, but we can discuss that in the interim.
Okay, so it will more than likely be 9:30, but stay tuned. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn till next month.
Okay. I'll second it, and let's just do an all together, all in favor.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.